Part 9, Chapter 4. Johnny was going home. In a canyon above the village meadow, they unloaded 4 horses and a pack from the freight plane. The breath of the horses hung about them in small, thin puffs. The horses, very recently wild, had not liked the ride and stamped about and snorted when their blindfolds were removed. The air was clear and frosty at this altitude. Snow from the recent storm covered the world and silenced it. Angus McTavish and Parson McGilvey were with Johnny. A pilot had come along so that the plane could be moved in case the visit lasted longer than a day. The recon drone had already gone by when they took off from the base, and the plane should not be there when it passed again. A week ago, Johnny had awakened in the night with the sudden realization that he might know where some uranium was. His own village. He had no great hope for it, but the signs were there in the illness of his people. Possibly there was no great amount, but also possibly there was more than that single rock from Uravan. He felt a trifle guilty for having to have an ulterior motive to go home, for there were other reasons. His people should be moved, both because of their continuous exposure to radiation and also because they should not be exposed in any future bombing. Johnny and his men had scoured the mountains for another possible home, and only yesterday had they found one. It was an old mining town on the western slope, lower in altitude, open through a narrow pass to a western plain. A brook ran down the street in the town center. Many of the buildings and houses still retained glass. Wild cattle and game were plentiful. But even better, there was a large half-mile-long tunnel behind the town that could serve as refuge. A coal deposit was on the hill nearby. The place was beautiful. It had no trace of uranium in it. Johnny did not think the people of the village would move. He had tried before as a youth, and even his father had thought he was just being restless. But he had to try again. Angus and the parson had insisted on coming with him. He had explained the dangers of exposure to radiation to them and had not wanted to put them at risk. But Angus simply waved a breathe gas bottle and promised to check it out ahead of them and not be foolish about it. And the parson, being a wise and experienced member of the clergy, knew Johnny might need help. They knew better than to simply fly a plane into the meadow. The people had seen recon drones all their lives, but a plane close up might terrify them. Part of last night had been spent planning. Angus and the parson had been briefed. There would be no action that might alarm the people, no talk of monsters, no frightening tidings about Chrissy. It would be strange enough to be seen entering from the upper canyon, for the pass on the eastern side of the meadow and all such passes were now choked with snow. And so they rode, 3 mounted men and a heavily laden pack horse, down into the meadow. The horses' hoofs made little sound in the loose snow. The deserted cabins on the outskirts were dilapidated and forlorn. Only a whiff of pungent wood smoke was in the air. Where were the dogs? Johnny drew up. The corral, where horses were kept, was empty. Then he listened carefully and heard a stamp in the old barn sheds beyond. There was a horse there, possibly more than one. He looked toward the pens where wild cattle were usually driven in before the first snow. There were not many cattle there, not enough to last through the winter. Angus slid down and, as he had promised, did a test for radiation. There was no reaction directly ahead of them.